We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Oh, I'm pretty sure we're live. Hello, I'm live. Hi. I think we're live. If we're not live on YouTube, we hope that you can watch us somewhere. I'm Gabe Ibrahim. I've been to like three of the best basketball games I've ever been to in my life. That's why my voice sounds like this. Welcome to Dallas. We just watched LSU win the championship alongside Megan Gower and Calvin Wetzel of Her Hoops. That's a very special guest, Danny Barlavi from Winsider, joining us. Someone else, please talk I don't have to continue talking.
So yeah, I'll be hosting because Gabe lost his voice between this and our road trip to Houston yesterday. But we were
and my general overall attitude,
general personality. Yeah. We are still happy to report friends after driving back from Houston after UConn Miami last night. But talking about women's basketball because that's what we're here for. We just watched LSU win the national championship, scored 102 points. Yeah. Insane. Angel Reese, most outstanding player. We're going to get into all of that. Calvin, Danny, initial reactions to the game.
not the outcome we were thinking we were going to see today.
Yeah.
For one thing, or for that matter. Yeah, I mean, just looking back at this and like the fact that LSU even made the Final Four, let alone won the championship, is completely blindsiding me, and it's only beginning to feel real. Amazing game from their supporting cast. Obviously, the headline of that is Jasmine Carson scoring 22 points after scoring, I think, 11 cumulatively in every game before this in the tournament. Awesome for her. I love that she's having this moment. Great for her career, great for just, like, putting that in your scrapbook. Gotta praise, like, the focus to come off the bench that hot and that accurate, willing to let it go from deep. Yeah, I really didn't think the story of this game, if LSU won, would be that they outshot an Iowa team that still shot incredibly well. I mean, Iowa shot 28 of 56 from the floor, 14 of 30 from three, and still came 17 points short, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the story that I thought we were going to be telling. I thought if LSU won this game, it would be by taking away the perimeter and slowing the game down, pounding the post, all that. I'm extremely impressed.
Yeah. Yeah, you said we got to start with positive?
Yes.
We're starting positive, to be clear.
We're going positive.
Just so everyone knows, they made me.
Me too.
Yeah, no, you're right about Jasmine Carson. And it wasn't just her. Like, last year, Poet, 2 for 2 from three. Mm. Kateri Poole, 2 for 2 from three. The whole team, especially the supporting cast, like you said, was just knocking down everything, which is, honestly, there's not a lot you can do about that if you're Iowa. You just have to tip your cap, and that's respect to the shooters off the bench. And Kateri Poole was a starter, but it's tough because, like, you can't do anything about that defensively. And you look at what Iowa, Gabe tweeted this out, I think, in the first quarter or the first half, they used, what, five different defenses, something like
that?
Yeah, at least five. They went man, they went 2-3, they went 1-3-1, they kind of showed a 1-3-1 and then morphed into a 2-3, went a little triangle in two at one point. Like, I mean, they did what they could, but, like, LSU was ready for whatever it was, and it helps when your shots were going in, but LSU, that, like, changing up defenses didn't really throw them off at any point. It never felt like LSU got out of a rhythm because of any of that, you know? And I just, credit to them. They were locked in.
Well, and it kind of, I think the thing that was most impressive was they went on a run when Angel Reese went out with foul trouble. And, you know, I think we've looked to the leadership of Angel Reese and Alexis Morris on this team as a big reason why they've been so good. And that's absolutely true. But the supporting cast tonight really, really starred. I mean, you look at the players who were making shots. I have to look at the box score to make sure I'm saying Jasmine Carson's name correctly, because I didn't really think about her for 3 weeks since she played Florida and had 25 points. I didn't even know that she was going to be out there playing. To come in and hit all those threes was just incredible. Megan, I want to talk to you because we both love what LaDeja Williams did. And I thought she was massive tonight.
Yeah, she was massive tonight, and I think she was also important. She was massive in their game over Virginia Tech, too. She was really big for them, and kind of, you know, Angel Reese and Alexis Morris were certainly the stars in that game, but she gave them that supporting piece that they needed. And then tonight, 20 points. She was really able to step up on the offensive end in the lane when Angel Reese was out in foul trouble. I think she was plus 16 in the game or something like that, one of the highest in the box score there. So she was just fantastic. I thought she should have made the all-tournament team. I voted for her to be on the all-tournament team. I think it's kind of ridiculous she didn't get that, whatever. Yeah. But I thought she was just really, really fantastic for them tonight as well. To score 102 points in the national championship game, that's insane. And I also can't believe that, like, yesterday was the day that I decided to not count on Iowa's defense being not good. And well, one time I trusted them. But, yeah, I mean, just a really insane performance from their supporting cast. And I think if you're Iowa, like, there's not, I mean, they could have been better defensively, but there's not really much to hang your head on there. Like, you didn't let Reese and Morris beat you entirely, and what are you going to do about players that step up like that?
Yeah.
LSU was just more ready today.
Yeah, plus 18 for LaDeja Williams, plus 20 for Flajay Johnson. That's really incredible, considering, you know, how she played in the last game. Huge bounce back.
Plus 4 each for Morris and for...
Yes, plus 4 each for Morris and Reese.
So to go off your point, just Iowa did what they came out to do. They executed their game plan defensively. They took away the players they thought they would have to take away. Sometimes the math just doesn't math. Sometimes variance just has other plans. I almost said God, but I don't want to get religious about it. Sometimes just the shots go down. Sometimes players show up more ready than they have all season.
So sometimes the refs show up more ready than they've been all season. The
refs were goaded.
We got to give a salute to the referees for just taking this game over.
That's who got snubbed for the all-tournament team.
That's it,
not LaDeja.
Lisa Jones.
Get
Lisa Jones on the friggin' referee of Lisa Jones on the all-tournament team.
Yeah,
and to be clear, like, the refs didn't decide the game. It was LSU's.
That's not the story.
Yeah, that's not the story.
They didn't decide the result.
Yeah, they didn't decide the result. LSU came out, they made their shots. LSU outplayed Iowa. They won the game.
100%.
But the refereeing was just a disservice to the game.
It just hung a cloud over the whole thing. I mean, like, it's just like to see what Kim Mulkey is, and I know we said we weren't going to talk about her. just like Kim Mulkey, just like literally walk all over the court and do whatever she wants, and literally, like, we would say, like, she walked all over them. She was pushing them around as, like, metaphors. We would say that. But she literally was walking all over and literally pushing around the refs. Yeah. And to just see that all go by without a technical felt really bad. It really felt like if you are, like, a powerful white person entrenched in this sport, you can kind of do whatever you want in a championship game. Obviously, Caitlin is the other hand of that with her getting that tech, but... Yeah, I mean, the reffing was just distracting from what otherwise was, like, a really exciting game for LSU.
The
underdog.
Yeah, Mulkey getting a tech wouldn't have actually changed anything, but it just felt like it needed to happen, because if you were going to give Caitlin Clark a tech for what I really do not think deserved a 10.
And what men would not get a technical one.
Yeah, men would never get a technical one. It's a national championship freaking game.
And the explanation was that there was a delay of game already called, and then that was the second delay game. My question is, I believe that's a team technical foul.
That is,
it should be. Yeah.
Right? That's a team technical foul. Yeah. So not only was it, I think it was miscalled, but maybe someone could correct me if I'm wrong. If there's any officials out there, correct me if I'm wrong, as to whether that's a team foul or a personal foul. But the technical foul counts as a personal foul, and that was her fourth foul.
Yeah.
And that changed everything about how she was playing.
Everything.
And that's my problem with it. It's like Megan said, that didn't determine the outcome. LSU played amazing, but it affected the way the game went. And after such a after such a showcase for women's basketball in the Final Four, both games were incredible. To have it come down to not having Maka San on the floor, not having Angel Reese on the floor, not having Alexis Morris on the floor, not having Caitlin Clark, all these great players, we didn't get to see them play, and it was just because of very, very tight officiating. I need to get the charger from my laptop, so I will be right back.
Well,
yeah, and I think the thing that, you know, Caitlin was saying in the press conference as we were, you know, heading out today was like, also like, I mean, that's Monica Sano and Kenna Warnock's last game. And then we finished it sitting on the bench, and the way it was called, like, it was a disservice to both teams. Like, no way am I saying it was like a disservice just to Iowa. It was a disservice to both teams in terms of, like, it's a national championship game. Everyone wants to watch the stars, and you didn't get to watch the stars because they were all sitting on the bench with foul trouble.
But it was a disservice to people, to the sport, because what you're saying, everyone wants to watch the stars, but there's some people who haven't seen those stars yet, who are just tuning in this weekend because this is one of the biggest women, maybe the biggest women's basketball weekend in history in terms of viewership, and the sport has so much momentum. What Gabe was talking about, the Final Four, one of the greatest basketball games played in the history of the sport. Almost like the second or third away from the record or whatever for viewership, probably the highest non-UConn game ever viewed, right? Yeah. And to be building, great tournament, all throughout the tournament, incredible Final Four. All these people who I see on Twitter who never follow women's basketball were tweeting about women's basketball.
Yeah.
And it feels like all the momentum just got sapped because the product today, just from a neutral perspective, just was not there in terms of getting to see the stars, like you said, getting to see, you know, people being allowed to show emotion, which is what everyone wants, other than Kim Mulkey. it sucked.
And there was I saw a tweet from someone with 37 fouls, I think, calls in the game, which was a title game record. How fun. Not the types of records we want to be setting in title games.
And you know, and so we did go to the men's Final Four last night, and we're not going to talk about men's basketball, because it doesn't matter, and you guys shouldn't watch it. No, I'm kidding.
I'm not.
UConn's in the final.
I endorse that unironically.
Women's basketball fans, UConn's in the final, you know how this goes. All right. So in that game, I thought it was disjointed because of capitalism, honestly. Like, there was like 10-minute long timeouts. Ooh. And that made the game feel so disjointed and cost momentum to both sides at times. It cost momentum to both sides. I felt like the refereeing had a similar effect.
Yeah.
It was a chilling effect, not only to having those players be on the bench, but it was every single time down there was a whistle. And it was so jarring to fans. Like, every time we're expecting someone to dribble or make a play, and there's just a foul call for something small.
Yeah.
In the first half, I think the best example of this was those four calls. The two blocks that were called on Caitlin Clark's defenders for extremely minor contact. And then the two charges, which were makeup calls for those two fouls against Caitlin Clark. Again, very minor contact. You have to let these players play because they're so good and they're going to figure out how to play through physicality if you let them. And, like, they're strong. They're not frail. They're not going to get hurt. Like, let them play and trust that they're going to keep the game in control. It's the freaking national championship. This is in November.
Yeah.
We don't need you to be controlling the game or setting a tone or teaching anyone anything. You need to get out the way and call the fouls that affect the game.
Yeah. I entirely agree with that. It wasn't the place for it.
We can move on. I think we made our point clear, but it was a disservice
to the game.
Speaking of disservices to a championship game, I'll say it every year: 2:30 on a Sunday. 2:30 afternoon on a Sunday.
Prime time, guys.
We got primetime Caitlin Clark in the semis. Where was that? Like, you know, like, I don't have much to say other than it should be on a Saturday and it should be later, but it should be on a Saturday and it should be later.
Well, and I think it's this year, the logic is it's on ABC.
Yeah.
And you can't move ABC Nightly News because old people need the news. Sorry. I also watch ABC Nightly News because I'm old. But
you sound 70 right now.
I sound ill. I sound dead, essentially. No, but it's just like, yeah, I agree with that. And I just, I don't know. I felt like there were so many failures in tonight that didn't feel like there was.
Today?
Yeah.
Today.
Today.
Today. That there wasn't on Friday night.
Yeah.
All
right, let's talk about basketball.
Yeah.
Cal. Let's say something about Iowa's, you know, any, let's just talk basketball for Iowa. I mean, Caitlin Clark has 30 points. You know, Gabby Marsh had some big plays. Kate Martin's turning into a slasher all of a sudden.
Yeah.
How do you think they played both just in this weekend? What were you most impressed by them? Caitlin Clark.
Okay, because that's Caitlin. The obvious answer.
Caitlin. Yeah, other than just Caitlin today, Clark.
Which... Like, I mean, even today with, like, what she was battling with the foul trouble and everything, you know, still, Caitlin Clark the most today. But I was impressed with just how well they executed their game plans for 80 minutes. And today the game plan didn't work because the game plan was to let Jasmine Carson beat you. And Jasmine Carson beat you.
Should've.
And that's just how it goes sometimes. Mm-hmm. But they still executed it. And obviously, if you're talking about the whole weekend, they executed their game plan perfectly the other night. And it did work. Because South Carolina didn't have someone like Jasmine Carson step up. Raven Johnson hit three threes, but that's it. They didn't have anyone go crazy like that.
I can't believe that's the conversation we're having right now. Like, I can't believe this is real life. They're talking about how LSU is the national champion because they had Jasmine Carson and SC didn't.
And it's crazy because, like, they are a better shooting team
than South Carolina. Yes. They have it all.
But
11 for 17.
Yeah. It's their second highest three-point percentage of the season they shot, I think. 67% against Missouri in one game, but second highest 3-point percentage of the season.
And the weird
that's
thing
the
is,
beauty of March, right? Like,
if you would have told me going in this weekend, Iowa is going to shoot whatever it was, 31-32% from three against South Carolina, below their average, I would have said they're getting absolutely cooked. They're losing by 30. They have to make shots to beat South Carolina.
If you had told
I would have been wrong. And if you would have told me that Iowa was going to shoot 14 for 30 from three in this game, I would have said, like, put a ring on them right now.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way LSU has a shot.
Yeah. So they're winning by double digits.
Yeah. They shot exponentially better in this game than they did against South Carolina, and they lost.
Yeah, and Iowa shot 50% total from floor. I think Alexa Phillips tweeted that they were 18-0 in games when they shot 50% from floor this season.
18-1 now.
Now 18-1.
Now 18-1.
And it's such a difference. Like, I think for you know, when your plan doesn't work. Because we were praising them last game for sticking to the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And even when we were in the stands watching, they hit those two threes, and I'm turning around saying, we're good.
Yep.
Like, they're good.
Yep.
Because if you just let you want them to make one so they keep shooting, that was so wrong. Like, and it was like, as soon as they, at the halftime, the shot to end the half was the one where you're
That's how you know it's your day.
Yeah,
I was honestly, it was the dagger day.
Yeah,
that game felt done. I forget who said, someone said that to me at half that the game held over. I saw it on Twitter, but I disagreed at the time. But it's true. Looking back at it, it's true.
Yeah,
I do think it had that. Like, it did kind of feel done. We were talking about it as we were walking back up, but it felt like with the foul trouble and like everything else, it was like, how are they gonna come back with this?
The vibes were so bad.
20. And it's just like LSU was just hitting the shots, and it's kind of just like deflating to. For Iowa to watch them hit shot after shot after shot that you want them to take and you don't expect them to make.
And they never gave up, though.
Yeah.
I think that's something, you know.
They did make a run in the third there, made it a game for a bit.
You want to keep fighting 40 minutes, and their fans were great, too. The fans were in the stands the entire time cheering on their team. I thought that was great. But, man, that's something I tweeted out, like you said. If you play a team that hasn't shot that many threes all season, and they turn into the Golden State Warriors. You just say, okay.
Tip your hat.
Tip your hat. Because the other team just beat you at what you thought they couldn't. I thought LSU, that the performance from all of their supporting cast was just so darn impressive.
This is the thing about defense in basketball. Like, it is not possible, even for the greatest defense ever, to take away every single thing. So you have to pick something and say, you can have this, you know? And like against South Carolina, that's 3-point shooting for anyone other than Zai Cook. You can have these. And, you know, same thing. Jasmine Carson, you can have these. And like South Carolina against Iowa said, you know, we're going to take away all the wing shooters. We're going to face guard Gabby Marshall. Yeah. Here's what we're going to give you, Kaylin Clark, one-on-one, because we think we can guard her one-on-one. And they couldn't. Sometimes the one thing that you say, we're going to give it to you because we can't take it away, they take it and it works. And you can't win if that happens.
Yeah, and I think you have to just live. The other team's good, as I always say in basketball. The other team is good usually, especially if you're playing now in this time of year. You are playing a good team.
Yeah.
They can figure it out too. Mm-hmm. If you can figure it out, they can figure it out.
Yeah.
So, man, I'm just really, really impressed with LSU. I think Angel Reese, I mean, for her to do what she did this year, I thought just showed so much growth. I love her personality. I mean, I think the point, like, I want Danny to break this down.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to like her, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, she's, WrestleMania, but just while we're talking about this, like, Angel Reese is a wrestling heel, and that's really what she's, like, come into this year in terms of her public image, in terms of the persona she gives in interviews on the court. Mm-hmm. I mean, she showed up today in that crown, and that's, like, you know, like...
And then fucking won the game.
And then won the game, where, like, having worn the crown, and, like, you know, it's such a page from the Kim Mulkey playbook, to the peacocking of it, to wear that crown, but, like, yeah, she came in, she doesn't want to be liked, she wants to be loud, she wants to be in your face, she wants you, if you are, like, a pearl-clutching, racist white person, to be, like, you know, this girl is acting out of line.
Oh, yeah.
She owns that, she reclaims it, and she makes it her public image. And she gets you on her side because of it. Even me, who came in like pretty invested in Iowa and wanting Iowa to win, I was just like, "That's cool.
Yeah,
that's really cool." Her going up to Caitlin after the game and doing the John Cena thing when Caitlin did that earlier in the tournament, super cool. Also, I think it, you know, like, I think it is respectful to Caitlin in a weird roundabout way to do that. It is about saying, like, you're the big dog, like, you are the person that everyone thought was gonna, like, be the story after this game. We got you. I respect your abilities to the extent that I'm going to make my victory about taunting you.
Yeah,
well, because no one's going up to Addison O'Grady and doing that.
No shame to Addison O'Grady. Marsha, we saw your comment. Addison O'Grady was good. We want to show you out.
But yeah, I mean, like, Angel is just so tough, and like she's such. She's such a baddie. It's the only way that I can even think of saying it. Like to come out with a full face of makeup, to be so obnoxious in a positive way.
Yeah.
Obnoxious in a good way. In a like, I'm here. You need to look at me. You need to look at what I'm doing. You need to appreciate it. And we're the bad guys and move on.
Yeah.
It's what people say Kim Mulkey is, but she's not.
Yeah.
It's what Angel Reese actually is.
Because Angel's cool.
The I don't care what you think about me, I'm going to own it. Type of thing that people talk about Kim Mulkey, like, doesn't care what people think, but like with Kim Mulkey, this is totally different. But Angel Reese is actually that.
Imagine if Kim Mulkey was a young black woman who wasn't a bigot. Anyway.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna be happy for Angel too, because like I feel like this season she had such a good season, and then they had that one South Carolina game where she didn't have a good night, and it was like somehow it went from like. Angel Reese is doing all this stuff, double-double every night, averaging, like, 25-10, and then it was, like, totally erased from the National Player of the Year conversation.
Yeah.
For one bad game. Every person that National Player of the Year race had bad game this season.
Yeah.
She wasn't a finalist for any of the awards. I know one of them was a great thing, but, like, wasn't a finalist for any of the National Player of the Year awards. It kind of just... Were there five players in the country better than Angel Reese this season?
And then
I don't think so.
Obviously not.
She comes back, she forces the media to vote her most outstanding player. Yeah.
And I think she said afterwards on the ESPN interview that, like, you know, she didn't care about that. This was the one that she cared about, so.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, as bad as, like, the refs and all that were for women's basketball today, I think Angel Reese, just in general, not just today, is great for the sport.
And
it's great for the sport.
And exactly what Danny says, whether you like her or not, like, and it's not like, oh, whether you like her or not. Like, I don't like when people say, I'm saying, like, even if you don't like her, it's cool that she's around, because she is that the not, it's not like a bad guy role, because like UConn, obviously there's programs that, you know, it's cool to see them lose because they've won so much, and we've always had those types of heels in women's basketball. We haven't, there hasn't been in the past couple of years that sort of great player that people love to hate.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
and so Angel giving. giving us that and being, it's not a performance, obviously, it's who she is.
Yeah, it's personality.
But yeah. Understanding that this is my role, like this is who I am, I just thought that was great. And I think her development on the court too is what makes this all possible, right? Mm-hmm. It's not cool to talk trash if you're not good.
You gotta back it up. And she backs it up.
And I thought her, and Calvin, I mean, I watched a lot of her last year at Maryland. This year, I noticed her ball handling was much better. Yeah. Her decision-making was much better. Her defense communication was much better. Did you see that, too?
Yeah, especially the ball handling. How many times this year, and I just don't remember seeing this nearly as much as Maryland, did we see her just take it from the perimeter and take someone off the dribble? Mm-hmm. Like, for the best rebounder in the country, to be able to consistently do that, I think it was a huge step.
Like, yeah.
Well, last year, she did that at Maryland, but it'd be a turnover, for the most part. So she really worked on that this offseason.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to talk for your boy. Your boy's in the struggle. I'm basically, I don't know, who had a really big run. Virginia Tech in the fourth quarter. I'm fading fast. Yeah. Someone say something about, I don't know, what else do we want to talk about here?
No, I feel like we covered a lot of it. Yeah, I mean, I'm like looking at this box, I feel like the stat of the night is the bench points, 30-8. Like, I feel like that one just sums it up.
I actually like this point by Lincoln S., one of our commenters. And if you want to drop a comment, we'll talk to you. Lincoln first said, Calvin knows ball. And that's,
Calvin does know ball.
That's absolutely true. I can absolutely confirm that. My boy knows ball.
Thank you, Lincoln.
But Lincoln also said, okay, to our point about Angel Reese being a heel, she goes, or he goes, whoever you are, I'm sorry. okay, yes. But as someone who roots for a different Big Ten school, Caitlin is also a wrestling heel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
They both are.
Yeah.
It's depending on your perspective.
Mm-hmm. And they're both good for the sport for that reason. Yeah. They both have a lot of haters, and that's great.
Yeah.
And they both own who they are, and that's great.
And having them in the national title game against each other.
So. You know, I'm sorry. Diana's a heel as well.
Diana's the last person I can think of who did this kind of thing.
Yeah, well, she still does it, to be honest.
Well, talking about the college. Yeah.
No, and it kind of does feel like that with Caitlin and I think Angel, you know, both have that same sort of mentality of like, yeah, we want to talk. And the other thing I love about Angel and Caitlin, they talk the entire game.
The entire game.
It's not just when they win. It's not just when they're losing. It's not just what. It's the entire game, and that's exactly after you have trash talk. Basketball, in part, is a game about trash talking. Mm-hmm. Like if we're not talking, we're not competing. So I love that both those do that. I love that Caitlin, she didn't take I don't know what she said about it. I don't think she took real offense to that. She understood that that's who.
This game recognized game.
That's who. Yeah, that's how the game works.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question for the after this, where do we put LSU in like the national title conversation coming into next year?
I gotta be up there.
Very high.
Yeah, I think they're gonna be up there. I mean, you lose Alexis Morris, but you've got a lot of pieces coming back.
We gotta wait to see how the transfer portal plays out. Because after Kim is good at that anyway.
With a title.
And after you win a title, they're gonna get someone big.
Scary.
Scary.
It's scary.
Yeah. I think they've got 2 top 10 recruits coming in as well. So yeah. I think they're gonna be in that top group that you're talking about coming in.
You guys wanna just make like a really quick short Megan and I did this in the second half.
Okay,
Megan and I did in the second half we started talking about this and Iowa made a run, so we got really deep into
Do we want them in order or do we want
I think a short list is fine.
Yeah,
Well, UConn, I'm sure y'all talked about a lot.
LSU,
Indiana,
Ohio State,
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
I was gonna say talking about the transfer portal. Like, people want to play for Don. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they have. I mean, the team they have coming back is also pretty dope.
Yeah, that's real.
Virginia Tech, Elizabeth Kelly coming back.
Kelly's coming back. So we team now. I was not in it.
That's the question, right?
I was not in it unless they also have a really good transfer portal, or I don't know what their class coming in is like, but like. Caitlin's great. We all love Caitlin, but she's not going to drag them all the way to a national title without Shinano, without anyone.
Yeah, I think that's a big loss for them. Monica Shinano has been such a huge part of that, and they've played together for 3 years.
Yeah, I do think Hannah Stolke could become.
Yeah, but I don't know that that's going to happen.
I don't think she's going to become Monica Shinano.
That's an outside.
It's not going to become. If she does, it's definitely not going to be next year. Mm-hmm. But I do think Iowa could be a top 10 team.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's enough parity at this point where a top 10 team could, in theory, make a run like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We saw 2 seed versus 3 seed.
Yeah. Well, and they're gonna get in the transfer portal. We don't have to.
Also,
yeah. I don't know what the recruiting's like, but
yeah, I think it's a hard conversation to have right now because we've seen clearly. I mean, this LSU team is made from the transfer portal, right? Yeah. So like, yeah, it's really hard to have this conversation right now, not knowing where things are gonna stand in a few weeks.
Yeah,
I do. Maybe we talk a little bit about the transfer portal. I know we're all on the same side of like, it's sick. Like,
it's sick. I love it.
Like, team, kids should go wherever they want to play and have these experiences. Like, imagine if Angel Reese had to be stuck in Maryland where she wasn't with a coach who vibed with her, and didn't, not encourage, like, just didn't mold her in the way that she wanted to be molded. Mm-hmm. If she was stuck there, it's like, wow, we missed out on something so great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, there's bad stories at the transfer portal. I love that this team was able to win it based on having those
players. Yeah, it's cool. Cool.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, and I think it shows, I think, what we're going to see probably a lot going forward, right? Like, I mean, I think even teams like, we've seen a lot of teams in the Final Four that had big impact transfers. Yeah.
Well, and specifically, the fact that it's Kim Mulkey's second year here, I think, in what you're talking about with the transfer portal, mm-hmm. and we've seen a lot of other coaches, I think, in the last few years have much quicker turnarounds. Mm-hmm. Shauna Green at Illinois is probably the biggest example. They went from complete garbage to making the tournament in 1 year.
Yeah,
and that used to never happen. The best coaches would turn someone around in 3 or 4 years. Yeah. But now we can see a team. What did LSU win 2 years ago? 9 games?
Yeah.
8 games, 10 games? We can see teams go in 1 or 2 years from that to national champion with the transfer portal, where in the past, a coach used to take much longer than that to turn a program around.
Yeah, I think it's a big part of the increased parity that we're seeing in sport. The way things are changing, it's way less predictable. Because it's not, you get in your class of All-Americans and they play for 4 years. Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, except UConn, apparently. you can never leave. the Hotel California. The Hotel Ariema. So, anyone have final thoughts before I...
LSU would have beat South Carolina if they shot like this and they played.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I feel like that can be a knock against this. Like we were talking about, they didn't have to play South Carolina, Indiana, Virginia. They did have to play Virginia Tech. But yeah, they would have beat almost any team in the field with a game like this.
No. Yeah. They did have to play Miami though. I mean, that's.
Yeah, no, I don't like.
They
I
did play the Canes.
I'm annoyed about it on the men's side right now too, but like the narrative that like because you didn't have to play anything your championship like
that's how March works.
Like that's how we're
that's how March
that's
works.
The idea.
It's not your fault though.
That's
other teams,
the idea.
Other
it's
teams
a feature.
Got knocked
that's,
out.
Yeah,
like,
it's a feature.
Yeah,
yeah.
It doesn't take
yeah.
anything away from a championship.
Yeah.
No, and obviously those teams beat the other teams that got there, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how basketball works.
Yeah.
No, LSU. There's tremendous performance by them. I'm stoked for their players and assistant coaches. I think they absolutely deserved it as a program. The refs were the refs, and those three refs need to never do a game of this magnitude again.
They should never ref a game of basketball.
Where was Dee Cantor in this game? I don't know. She has been the best ref throughout the tournament, and she literally just got an award this weekend from the USBWA. For refereeing. She's been doing this since 1984.
They decided she needed a break.
I have no idea how she did not do that game after doing both she did both the semifinal games, or at least one of them, and she did a great job. And not just that all her calls are right, just like in the communication, in the understanding of how games should go.
That's a huge part of a ref's job that people don't talk about. Even if every ref's going to miss calls, but it's that part.
Right.
Understanding that what your role is in the game. But that's fine. That is what it is. The college season is now over, and now we flip the page to the WNBA. WNBA drafts next Saturday.
That's wild.
Your boy is somehow going to have to be there talking up a storm.
Oh, boy. Local rush from now until then.
Yeah. No, I won't. You know me.
You got it.
Aaliyah Boston is the only player in the draft.
At the moment, it's Aaliyah Boston and Diane Miller, and then I'm not entirely sure who else is in this draft. I'm sure there's some. Oh, Haley Jones.
Oh man. We were almost on some people's list.
Yeah, I forgot my bad. Maddie Segrist.
Maddie, yeah.
Megan.
It was a joke.
Megan. We're kidding, guys.
Race Burger.
There's a world where Maddie Segrist is a top four pick.
It's probably this world.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
probably this
world.
World.
This world.
So
yeah.
I don't think it was that weird of a take.
With this draft class.
Wait, what?
I'd say you got your girl. You didn't mention anything.
Oh, well, we're not talking about Villanova right now.
Okay. I really disrespect your Grace Burger.
We gotta go. We're going off the rails. Guys. Yeah, talk to you. Look out for a mock draft or Herb Stats. Follow us on Twitter. You know, you all know these people.
We need the Winsider mock draft. I'll plug it.
No Winsider mock
draft. Yeah, we got the Winsider. We got the Winsider staff mock draft. I was Seattle with the 9th pick.
How high did Elizabeth Killey go?
I think she was 7th or 8th.
Okay. Well, she ain't coming out. She ain't coming out. Yeah. So, skip over that one.
I should say there are a lot of players in that mock draft that are not coming out in the first round. Yeah.
All right, y'all.
But well, I didn't pick one of them.
We love hoops. We hope you guys do too, and we'll talk to you very, very soon.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.